This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome back to Talk Shonen. My name is Turtle.
And I am Jared.
Jared, welcome back to the land of the living, my friend.
I'm barely in the land of the living, but yeah, I'm here.
You're there like Moon Knight, like you're present.
Yeah, yeah.
In and out, maybe, but...
You can't kill me.
Don't tempt fate.
I keep doing it.
I know you do. Explosions, diabetes.
Everything.
Just some guy with a truck, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, yeah.
So, we're back after, you know, a little hiatus. A
little bit of a hiatus. Maybe I'll throw some new music at the beginning or something. Oh, who knows? Yeah, I might just make things fun.
Talk show in season two. Like, we finally made it, guys. 100 episodes in or whatever.
Hey, because of you guys listening, somehow we've been charting around the world quite a lot.
Awesome.
That's been cool, even though we haven't been doing stuff.
Well, you know, we're back on our horse. We're gonna ride that horse into the sunset. Wait, not sunset.
Because this is a horse podcast.
It's a whore podcast.
It's always been a whore podcast.
I mean, it is about us.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's a thing. by the way, my friend recently has started listening to our podcast, like all of them, just while he's driving to and from work for hours.
Yay, new fans.
Yeah, and he is constantly like, I'm going over to his place, and he's like, hey, so you guys were talking about this. And I'm thinking, and I'm like, okay, yeah.
Hi, Turtle's friend.
Hey, shout out to Trav.
There we go.
Oh, hi, Trav. You met him at the wedding. He was one of my groomsmen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hi.
This week on Talk Shonen, we're going to cover... Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Thor, love, and
thunder. Surprise, it's really about Thor and his new daughter.
Yeah, which is Chris Hemsworth's daughter.
Which is actually, Chris Hemsworth's daughter. Okay, so let's get this out of the way.
I know we're a little bit behind, but I was dying when this movie came out.
Oh, yeah. And I waited.
It's on Disney Plus.
We just saw it on Plus. So, yeah. You know, you can, look, some of us aren't made of money, all right, people? So get off our backs.
You know what? You can support us on Patreon.
Yeah, you can. If you think we should see movies immediately, start paying those movie tickets. Yeah,
I'll get one set up again.
this movie has caught a lot of shit. I've heard a lot of negative reviews. A lot of it being like, Marvel died after, you know, Endgame.
The famous thing is Marvel died with Tony. Tony,
yeah. And I think that is horse shit.
I agree. I think it's going a new direction.
Yeah, and there's been stuff... let's preface. Aside from Thor Dark World, there's been plenty of things Marvel's done since Endgame, since Tony's death, that is really good. Moon Knight being that example.
Yeah.
Spider-Man still killing it.
Killing.
Like, okay,
all the time.
When we admitted, like, you know, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness was... It was middle of the road. It was okay. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't bad.
Shang-Chi was great.
Oh, Shang-Chi was amazing. Yeah.
That was a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther, the Wakanda Forever looks like it's going to be good.
Well, we'll see. Really trailers good. Are elusive. Trailers they're, are deceiving.
They're deceptive, yeah.
Yeah. But so, you know, there's some stuff coming out. Thor Love and Thunder looked really good to me. I know a lot of people are like, it was too fanciful. I'm like, it's Thor is the silliest. I know that comic Thor is super serious most of the time.
And he's very Shakespearean.
Yeah, and played very, very straight. But that's boring. It's boring, and it's boring for a main character. There's a reason Thor's comics don't do super great.
Yeah.
He only does well in ensembles.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, that's how they were setting him up. Yeah. In the first movie and the second movie. Well, the second movie was just abysmal.
Yeah, second movie was hot garbage. But the third movie was amazing. I loved Ragnarok.
I know you didn't love Ragnarok.
I loved Ragnarok. I like that style. I like that when it kind of went more retro 80s party.
Like, I like the color.
Yeah.
I like the colors of it. It's a very colorful movie, and I think that was fun. I like Korg. Like, Korg's fun.
Yeah. And then people were, okay, and also speaking of lore, Thor Love and Thunder, preface, spoilers. It's been out a while, so you should probably be past this.
Yeah, I mean, we're late, so.
Yeah, we're late to the game. If you haven't seen it yet, it's your own damn fault.
Yeah.
But, spoilers ahead, people were bitching about Zeus. I'm like, have you read Greek mythos? They nailed Zeus.
A lot of that also was Russell Crowe.
Oh, he was
just
amazing.
Improvising. That whole grabbing the skirt and lifting it up as he daintily walked down the steps. That was just him.
So funny.
Yeah, that was great.
It was amazing. I loved him as Zeus. I loved the whole Eternity City of like the gods, but they're clearly like what you think of as all these pantheons of gods.
Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. I love the whole just omnipotent city, the whole scene and how they did all of that.
Or an omnipotent, sorry. Yeah, I said eternity.
Yeah.
I meant omnipotent city.
I will say there was like a couple things that made me go like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was watching and there was so many times where there was like celestial heads.
Well, the celestials are like around the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was also just heads of celestials in multiple parts. And I'm just like, you're just using celestial heads as decoration?
I mean, you know, that they're the, you know, some of the primordial beings there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And, you know, they're some of the oldest, I'd assume, or up there at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the gods, it seems like a lot of these gods are, I guess, created when something worships them.
Well, yeah, so you know, they follow certain mythos. I like that they made the nod. Thor directly referenced Ra, so you're tying in the Egyptian pantheon.
Yeah.
Which is great because of Moon Knight and things.
Yeah. It lended credibility to it.
Yes. They do go into, like, a little bit with, like, some of the more Norse mythos now. Like, you got, like, the goats.
Oh, yeah. Which the goats stole the show for me.
Hilarious.
Loved the screaming goats.
We left that movie... we didn't leave it. We saw it at my house, but I was drunk, so maybe it's me. But I left that movie on my couch screaming like a goat. So. Yeah.
I mean, they were great. It was a really good addition to just be like, all right, what is some of the, because this is going to be funnier.
Yeah.
So what are some of the funnier aspects of Norse mythology?
Yes.
And let's add some of that goofiness just to really, really lean in.
I loved that they gave Stormbreaker personality.
They gave all of the weapons personality.
All of them were like legit, like, these are mythical weapons and they have like, they choose their owner kind of thing.
Yeah. And I will say, I think... maybe this is where a lot of Marvel fans are having an issue with it. Because a lot of Marvel fans, if you speak to them, they just seem to only like Marvel movies.
Yeah.
They don't seem to like many other genres of movies.
True.
It's like, what the hell were you doing before these movies came out?
I'm probably living in a room.
But this is a romantic comedy. It's a rom-com.
It is a rom-com.
Like, that's what it is. And it's a romantic comedy on levels, I noticed.
Yes.
Because you have your normal romantic comedy where you have Thor and Jane. We'll get to Jane Warren, you know, later. And but then you also have like this weird love triangle romantic comedy thing going on between Thor, Mjolnir, and Stormbreaker,
which was hilarious.
Yeah.
And you even have some hints of it with like Valkyrie, how she's just alone.
King Valkyrie was probably my favorite character in
She was awesome. It's impressive how well she held her own, and
she was also gorgeous in this.
Well, yeah, in some of these fights, especially, let's talk about the actress for a second.
Yeah,
I love King Valkyrie in this. I love Valkyrie in general from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And now I'm not always been a big fan of this actress, because Men in Black, the most recent Men in Black International, her and Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah,
it came in after Ragnarok, I think.
Yeah, so you would think like they had the chemistry and everything like that.
Phoned it in, both of them. It was just like this. Like
I can tell from the trailer that it was phoned in.
It had some interesting things here and there, but like for the most part, it was like, yes, this is a paycheck movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like they just did it because I'm sure this all the
they were like we wanted to just hang out without having to work out quite as much for Marvel movies.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what Men in Black International was. At least I think.
She was good in Creed.
I don't think I ever saw Creed.
She is the main love interest in Creed.
Okay.
And she does a good job in that movie.
Okay.
I think she's a talented actress. I just think that some of the movie choices have been kind of for her.
And once again, who are we to judge? If they were paying me $10 million to do Men in Black International as like and like just phone it in, sure.
Yeah, I'm exactly. on. If they weren't going to give me any notes and be like, hey, do better.
Do better. Yeah, just you and Chris Hemsworth play off each other for a while.
Yeah.
Cool. And they did. and they it was that was fine, but it wasn't great.
Do you, boo-boo. Make your money.
Now, Marvel, on the other hand, this one was, she was amazing in this.
She had a lot more depth in the, yes. I mean, she had depth in Ragnarok, but I think she had significantly more.
For sure.
Like, you can tell that she was, that she cared about her people, but was bored as fuck.
Yes.
Being a king.
Yep.
But did not want to give that up. You know, really, really missed the action, but at the same point was really, really torn and really, really missing her sisters.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That, and it, that was such a defining part of her, and the loss of that.
Yeah.
Defined her trauma so much.
Oh my God, for sure.
And it, she, it shined through in a way that didn't take away from the main story, but built.
It was a good addition to it.
Yes.
Same with Korg's. I thought they were going to overuse Korg. I thought it was going to be, you know, just too much, but
yeah,
I think it was just a good, good addition.
Kept
good
it part. Light.
Yeah. Kept it light. It was just fun there. I did the goat call.
Oh, that was fun.
The greatest cameo in the movie, Loki on Thor's back.
Oh, yeah.
That's the tattoo, the massive back tattoo. Oh my God.
Yeah. That was a nice nod. That was a nice, I still love my brother.
Exactly.
I miss my brother. I got him tattooed on my whole back.
Speaking of, I watched a thing where they were like, why did Thor's outfit change from gold to blue midway through when he's like in full battle armor? Yeah. And I have a theory about that because they never really explain it.
Okay.
I think it changes directly after the altercation with Zeus. And I think the gold was too representative of Zeus, who he had now lost faith in as his hero.
Oh, that
and
could
so
be
the
it.
Gold
yeah.
in the, and when he transforms, the gold in the outfit just pisses off. And now it's whatever, blue or whatever he's encompassing now.
Because he did say that Zeus was his hero.
Yeah, he had a whole
thing.
And then
he really was
Zeus
like,
is the man. This is
He's
this is
not
awesome.
A good person.
Yeah, then Zeus keeps talking and he's like, what?
Yeah. I you know what? I co-sign on that headcanon.
Yeah.
So I'm perfectly fine with that. I will say, and this is because you know my main qualm with Ragnarok was that I felt like it took too many important storylines and made them overly funny.
Yes.
So, you know, there's people's explanation as to why Ragnarok and Love and Thunder are as silly and goofy as they are.
I like this explanation. I think I've heard
where,
this.
Where they say that it's Thor telling the story.
Or in this case, I think it was Korg.
I think Marvel leaned into that for that. I think they heard that theory, and that's why Korg was telling
Korg,
this.
Korg.
Is it Korg or Korg? I can never remember.
I thought it was Korg. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Korg. Yeah.
But now, you know, he was legitimately telling the story.
Yeah,
and I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
That this isn't told from like an active, you're seeing what happened.
Yeah.
This is a watered down being told to children's story.
Yes.
So a lot of the ridiculousness that's added.
You get the less angry version because Thor in Endgame and on all that, very angry, very,
very vengeful.
Very vengeful, lots of issues, like a normal person.
Super stoic.
Super stoic. And then you get the Thor in Love and Thunder that is just fucking living the dream, kind of like even going through everything. Like there's some tension, but he's very much more flippant about things.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely is, and I think that's very well shown in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, the beginning.
Yeah, that whole beginning intro. Thing.
Yeah,
where you had we were very close with how we predicted.
Yes,
it was going to start.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that whole montage of him getting in shape and everything like that and fighting and him, you know, hanging it up. I mean, we did say that he was going to, or I at least said that he was going to hang it up for a while and something was going to bring him back into it. Interesting
love
that he was just like, oh, just going to wait for whatever pops off. And I'm just going to keep jumping in.
Did it. I love that Stormbreaker grows into the ground with its
roots. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Groot's arm.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
exactly.
It's still a living tree.
Yep, exactly. Powerful living tree.
Yeah
So it was like I said, I enjoyed it. The story was good. Christian Bale as Gore, I loved.
There was times where I really, really liked him because I was able to, I think the beginning, you're able to identify with him.
Yeah.
And you're able to really empathize with where he was coming from.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you just buried your daughter.
Yeah.
And
your
now,
God doesn't
now
give a
God
shit about
that you were literally praying to just to help her. is talking shit,
yeah,
about you and everybody that you've ever known and your daughter
and how like your whole species is like worthless dogs or something, like,
and about how you know something else will start worshiping him at some point, so he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
So it's like it's really relatable where his rage came from.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But then there was other times where I was like, well, now you're just being weird.
Yeah, but keep in mind the sword is corrupting him the whole movie. He does get weirder and more like sickly throughout it, and he gets acts more like he doesn't even think to summon his daughter with Eternity until Thor brings it to his head, because the sword is actively going, kill all the gods,
kill the gods,
kill the gods, kill the gods. And like that's what, you know, you got to keep that in mind, like, because when he starts, you're right, he's a very reasonable view on being pissed.
It was a very Thanos way of thinking, where you're just kind of like, gods really do probably deserve, most of them probably deserve to die.
Exactly.
They're clearly ignoring the people that are worshiping them and the people that they're deriving power from.
Yep.
So yeah, he's kind of justified in that.
Yep.
Might and be going a little bit far, but you know.
Yeah. And he still kind of pushes back against it. I mean, when they encounter him in the Shadow Realm, he doesn't just ice them all immediately, because they're not the demographic of gods that he wants to. Valkyrie's not a god.
She's not a god at all.
Mighty Thor isn't a god.
Isn't a god at all.
Or is a new whatever he said. Yeah. You're different, you know, whatever. And you're dying.
Yeah, you're dying.
Yeah. And then Thor, he was like, you know, more messing with him than like you deserve to die.
Yeah.
And probably because he sees Thor like giving a shit.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's pretty much undeniable that Thor cares about people.
Yeah. So it's interesting that like it really took like just the full development for him to like, because by the end he is a raving lunatic.
Oh yeah.
And it's awesome.
I do love that ending though, where how his arc came to a close. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I was the only one. Did you think that he was going to use the wish of Eternity to save Jane?
No.
Like, I thought that was going to be his redemption.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then as soon as Thor brought up his daughter, I was like, oh no, that's a better use.
So I do have a qualm with the let's call it the MacGuffin.
Okay.
Stormbreaker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where it's like, oh, it just so happens that the key to eternity is an axe that was just created.
And it's specifically the Bifrost. And I get it. There's Odin had access to the Bifrost. I'm sure more powerful gods can channel it in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure that's a thing that exists in Marvel. Yeah. But established canon so far is that there's two generators of the Bifrost in the universe.
Yeah.
One of which is a skyscraper-sized mega cannon that got obliterated, and the other is an axe that's only recently started existing.
Yeah.
So where the fuck are the other keys to this Eternity?
Yeah, it's like also, it's basically stated as Guardians are aliens.
Yes.
They're not. So, they're not super special.
No. Yeah. They're. I mean, crazy
this one was like leaning more into maybe they are gods.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're just aliens.
Yeah. They're aliens. I mean,
so why do aliens have the key to the most powerful god in existence?
Like, I'm willing to give them that, like, the Bifrost is in of itself.
Is like a universal power?
It's a constant. What's her face? Jane, Mighty Thor, goes into, I mean, she pioneers the study on Einstein-Rosen bridges, and that's what the Bifrost is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it's something that I'm sure powerful beings can generate on their own.
Yeah.
Without the need of, like, a tool or that kind of leans into the Asgardian thing of like they had a giant like skyscraper dome thing that could generate it, but Odin couldn't just whip one up that we know of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean his version of it used like dark matter, not the actual Bifrost.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like maybe it's something that like could be explained, but they never really do, and it feels very MacGuffin-y that the axe is what he needs the whole time. Like, if the axe is gone and the Bifrost no longer exists, what the hell is Gore going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
The axe never existed. So say the axe never had the Bifrost. Of all the powers it could have gained when it was created, the Thanos killing stuff, maybe it instead became a Vorpal axe instead of an axe of teleport anywhere in the universe.
Yeah.
Now Gore has no endgame.
It's 100% true. Plus, also, I mean, it's... There's also a wee bit of a hole in mm-hmm. his whole thinking
yeah.
when it comes to his plan of kidnap the children,
yeah.
use the children, draw out Thor,
mm-hmm.
take the axe, get to eternity.
Yeah.
Because his whole mentality
yeah.
is gods don't care about anybody.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Point in case. Why would he come for the children if he thinks gods don't care?
Yeah.
Why would he? Why would? Now, granted, he kills his way through gods.
Yeah.
Before this, so you think, oh, he's just going to murder them all, and that's fine. That plan makes more sense. You're really good at killing. You got all these shadow beings. You've got a sword that is purpose built to kill gods.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even though, once again, Asgardians are just aliens.
Yeah. Even though Asgardians are just aliens,
you can use literally anything.
I mean, you could kill Thor with, like, you know, a really small hammer if you hit him just right.
Yeah.
And hard enough.
A hammer and chisel.
A hammer and chisel.
Down,
yeah.
Can take
a chisel
Thor.
On the taint can drop Thor in an instant.
Drop me in an instant.
And drop most people in an instant, if I'm totally honest. But so...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It just doesn't make sense that his plan was children will bring Thor out because he cares about them, so we cannot kill all the uncaring gods. Now, maybe Gore's on that same mindset. Maybe that's why I didn't kill Thor right away, is because
yeah.
Asgardians aren't gods. They're just powerful aliens.
Yeah.
Maybe Gore knows that. But how does Gore know about the axe? How does Gore know? Maybe the sword tells him. Like, clearly the sword's got some kind of
That sword will. Was insanely knowledgeable.
Yes.
But, like, also, it's like, how is he so... The Shadow Realm.
Yeah.
Is that a dimension?
Yes.
Or is that a place?
Yes.
Because they traveled to it like a place.
Yeah, but they traveled to it like a place with the boat using the Bifrost.
Using the Bifrost. It's because it's... You gotta keep in mind, move the dimension?
In Marvel, dimensions and places are often interchangeable. So, yeah. For instance, the Ice Giant Realm
mm-hmm.
is a realm. It's supposed yeah. to be its own realm.
Yeah.
However, it is also a planet.
Yeah.
That exists yeah. in the universe.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some type of barrier to get there we mm-hmm. don't know about. Maybe it's, you know,
yeah.
whatever. Maybe the universe in Marvel is more like a series of spheres that are highly overlapping.
Okay.
And it takes a certain amount of power to cross one to the other.
Like magic circle kind of things.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe. I don't, you know, I'm speculating here.
So the universe is hell.
Yeah, the universe is hell. Which we knew that to be true.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or whatever. Maybe there's just more to it than we're... Or maybe we're thinking too hard into it. Maybe just traveling that far in space requires the kind of magic that could transport you dimensionally.
Yeah.
You know, you just...
Maybe it's just a diagonal instead of like a horizontal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but it is supposed to be like a realm.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it like almost like this. Like the Shadow Realm is a realm where there is no light color.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a couple things that show color in that realm. I think Zeus's lightning bolt.
It's lightning.
Yeah, and Zeus's lightning bolt.
Because Mjolnir,
mm-hmm.
the light emitted by Mjolnir
mm-hmm.
did it. The
yep.
light emitted by Stormbreaker did it.
Yes.
And the light emitted by the Thunderbolt.
So it is a realm where color doesn't really exist. So it's clearly mm-hmm. outside the realm of normal.
Yeah.
But then it's also like an elemental field radiating throughout the rest of the universe,
mm-hmm.
as shown by the shadows and the shadow creatures.
Which that came out of fucking nowhere
yeah,
for me.
That's not related to
I was like, what is going
on? I think that
where
was
are these shadow creatures
Marvel's
come from?
Version of making it make more sense, because the idea of a single man killing a bunch of gods, even
right?
if he has
yeah.
a god killer sword.
They're like, he needs henchmen.
Yeah. They can't show how powerful he is in the movie really easily without adding in a ton of henchmen to do
yeah.
a lot of the dirty work.
Yeah. I mean, because the shadow teleporting thing, that
yeah,
was cool.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just the fact that he seems to be mm-hmm. super strong, even mm-hmm. though he looks
yep.
severely emaciated.
Yes.
That's, I guess that's cool also.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what else can we do? Well, we have this idea where a bunch of kids fight a bunch of monsters, so let's backtrack and let's work that in for the whole movie.
I want to bring up that point, because I've seen a lot of people bitching where they're like, well, why didn't Thor just give the Avengers the pop, 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 pop? But here's the point that they're not getting. First of all, such a big dick.
So huge.
Oh my God. How does he walk with that thing? So here's the point that they're not getting is he's not wielding Mjolnir or even Stormbreaker when he does it.
Yeah.
He's wielding the lightning bolt of Zeus, by his own words,
yeah,
the most powerful weapon in the universe.
Yeah.
And he commands it basically to do those things.
Yeah.
You're talking like, yeah, like Odin could do it because Odin had the Odin force.
Yeah.
And he didn't even grant Thor's powers to everyone. He had to make all new weapons. Like, I mean, in canon comics, Beta Ray Bill, Throg, you know, the other Thors that, like, have Thor's powers are because Odin makes a whole new fucking channel for that power.
Yeah. I mean, except for Mjolnir, because in the case of Mighty Thor. But that is, there was a, that really is a spell.
Jane wields the power of Thor. It is a spell.
It's Jane a spell. There's very specific criteria that need to be met in order for you to get that. And I think that what this is opening up, I think this is leading to King Thor.
I hope so. Thor, with Odin gone, canonically becomes King Thor.
Mm-hmm.
He gains the Odin force, or previously known as the Boar force or whatever, from his Odin's father. You know, eventually his daughter, Love, will be wielding the Thor force. You know what I mean? Like that kind
of... Yeah, exactly.
It's a passed down ultra power.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's already kind of tapping into that a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that was him kind of. I think that was their way of showing the audience, hey, Thor's in for a huge power up.
Yes.
Because he is now at the level that his dad was at.
Yes.
Because he was able to give anything that these kids were holding those exact criteria. Yep. And as long as those kids met that exact criteria, which at the same point, I thought it'd be funny if one of those kids really didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
And that was the only kid that didn't just to get a weapon.
I love the laser beam bunny.
That was great. Yeah, that was amazing.
But so the point is, like, people are throwing a fit about that. I'm like, well, look, character progression, power growth, all of these things have happened.
It's an anime.
Since then. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, it's comics. Come on. There has to be some development.
It's like it's the whole argument. Well, what if Goku would have just, when he learned how to go Super Saiyan, would have just went Kaioken times 50 million and then automatically jumped to Super Saiyan 4? It's like, well, then that would have been fucking boring.
Yeah, it's stupid. And you also got to keep in mind, like, at the end of this, he gives Stormbreaker to his daughter, to Love, his niece or whatever,
to his adopted daughter. Yeah.
And he wields Mjolnir probably because, as established, Thor no longer really needs.
Oh yeah, he doesn't need a weapon.
Yeah, he is legitimately powerful.
Yeah,
so he can take the, you know, not arguably weaker one, and just the one he like kind of still misses, the one his first love kind of thing.
Yeah, he went back to his first love. Yep. And he, you know, and the new one gets to protect his new daughter.
Exactly,
which is nice.
It is nice, and I bet you that with the way that Mjolnir never really showed the level of sentience Stormbreaker did.
Yeah.
So that leads to a whole nother fun, like,
I wonder if the level of sentience that Stormbreaker has is because of the fact that it's partially Groot.
It's probably. There could be some argument for that, because I mean Stormbreaker has living matter imbued into it.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that Stormbreaker's personality comes from that fact, or the fact that it's just more powerful, or both.
Yeah, then, you know, a little bit column A, a little bit column B.
I mean, like I said, like we already talked about, it had roots. It's clearly still alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it has personality. What that means, though, is that anyone that threatened this girl could end up getting axed without her even meaning to.
Yeah, she doesn't even need to really do anything, even though she's got laser eyes.
But yeah, and
which, where did that come from?
Well, oh no, she's a child of eternity
now. Yeah, that's why
she is a child of eternity, which is a major thing in Marvel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that
I just
sense.
Remembered that.
So she is like,
as it came out of my mouth, I was like, wait, she's a child of
the eternity. Other, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I come at me in the comments if I'm wrong, the Eternals are children of eternity. That's why they're called Eternals. They're the first. That's why Eternity has an Eternals looking head.
Yeah.
They look like their parent, the Eternal.
Yeah.
Eternity.
Yeah.
So, really, Love is
basically, like, an Eternal.
A new Eternal.
Yeah.
That was birthed not out of a planet, but out of a father's love.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, I think this is why, like, because when it came to Ragnarok, there wasn't anything that I grasped onto.
Yeah.
like this movie.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I put this movie above Ragnarok.
I do too.
But also, it doesn't go above a lot of other Marvel movies for me. And I, as a father, there's a lot more to grasp onto. Like, I was able to identify with a lot of things, and I the ending of it, I was like, okay, cool. It was all going towards something, and I liked where it ended. For Ragnarok, I was like, this could have not happened, and I still would have been fine.
So I'll give you that to some degree. I really enjoyed this movie. I really enjoyed this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I place it above Multiverse of Madness. But I don't place it above.
I put it on like the same keel as
it's like, especially the latest stuff, like
it
would be like the best, most recent one is probably Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree with that completely.
Yeah. And then,
'cause I think that one we gave what, like an 8 something? That was close to a 9.
It was so good. It was almost a perfect, complete story with great character development, interesting, and you felt
without relying too much on the previous
previous
IPs and things like that.
And then, like, below that is probably No Way Home,
mm-hmm.
and then below that is Thor for me, and then below that is Multiverse of Madness.
Okay, I mean, I can see that. Yeah, if you're going strictly off of Phase 4,
yes. If you count Moon Knight as a movie because it's basically a really long movie,
yeah. Moon Knight somewhere near the top.
I would put like Moon Knight at number 2, Shang-Chi at 1. Same order for the rest.
Yeah.
For Phase 4. That's what I'm referencing. Yeah,
strictly going off of Phase 4.
Yeah, Phase 4. You can't constantly, especially if people that are going to like, that's not like the original Avengers. Look, these aren't comics. They can't be the same Avengers for forever. It's just not going to work. And there's going to be reboots eventually. Untwist your panties right now, folks. Because at some point, probably sooner than you like. They're going to recast Tony Stark. They're going to recast Steve Rogers. They're gonna do like a Ant-Man fucked around in the quantum realm and all of time reset and the universe went squibbly and now there's gonna be other characters.
Because there's only so many heroes that are actually good.
Yes. Now, granted, Marvel does have a pretty large roster, but you start to lose recognizability the deeper you dig into it.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to end up, if they're not smart, into a realm of esotericness where, like, no one cares about Clawgag the Magnificent and his 16 friends that no one's ever heard of or read about in comics because they're all isolated characters from weird short runs.
Yeah.
Like comics have done, you're going to have to do a reset. There's going to be recastings. And they're going to recast the people you love. And maybe those recastings will be awesome. And maybe they'll be terrible. But it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars didn't do a reboot, but they're doing as close to it as they fucking can. Yeah. Where they're just like, hey, shit's different now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to have to deal with it.
Yep.
Luckily, all the people that were in these movies aren't dead yet.
Yeah.
So we can put some of them in.
Yeah, some of them are still using it.
But you and other McGregor. Than that, fucking deal with it.
Yep.
And Marvel's gonna have to do that because here's the thing that's gonna happen: the original Avengers were some of the most iconic heroes in Marvel.
Period.
Hands down.
None. Yep.
Just hands down, these are some of the most iconic ones.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to Phase 9,
you're so far removed. You're being so generous. I'm thinking like Phase 5 or 6, they're gonna be pretty out there.
What I'm just saying, if they do continue and they do, they just try to milk it, and they get to Phase 9, where it's literally this new Avengers goes for 4, just like the other ones went for close to 4. So same basic thing.
Yeah.
But let's just say that it hits 9.
Mm-hmm.
You're so fucking far removed
from the
first phase that when you hear about Tony Stark, you're not even going to have the emotional connection anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose that with your iconic characters.
Yes.
So you're going to have to do a hard reset. You're
also
so that you can take advantage again of the heartstrings.
Yeah, and it's already difficult to catch someone up that hasn't been on the ride the whole time.
Oh my god.
What are we 36 movies in or something?
That meme where it's like, Phase 78 where now kids have to watch 4,968 movies and 7,422 shows.
Yeah. At some point you're going to have to be like, "Okay, everything before Captain America, the first Avenger number 2 or like whatever it is, Captain America,
Cap is back,
original Avenger, like the new name, and it's like, okay, Cap is back Captain America, Cap is back, and it's the Captain America story again, starring Chris Hemsworth's grandchild.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Son. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Or not Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. The point is, you're going to hit that point. You're just going to have to restart the whole universe to make it work. Because you can't have, okay, if you want to know what's going on, let me tell you about the 78 movies that came
before.
You turn
into Charlie Day with that fucking, the picture
the board, and
the board.
The pins. And it's
let
like,
me tell you what's going on.
Here's the ones you can skip. Thor Dark World, out the window. Don't need it. You're okay.
It doesn't even exist.
Just start tearing through. Here's the must watch. And it's like, the must watch is still like 38 movies, Grandpa.
Really, the whole thing is like, just watch the Avengers movies. Yeah. Just watch the ones where they come together. You'll figure
and
it out.
And you can still catch up for the most part. Yeah. You don't need all of the side movies for it. But they're gonna have to at some point restart.
Yeah. And it's inevitable.
Yeah. So just
it is get, it is like
strapping now.
It is Thanos.
It is inevitable. It's inevitable.
And I hope they say that right before they do the reset.
I hope on the reset there's another Gore the God Butcher and he's gonna open Eternity and someone is gonna go, what do you need? Like the Bifrost? And they're like, why would that make any fucking sense, you idiot? No. I need a key that I have to steal from this place.
It gives them the ability to learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. They look at it and go, no, what? Bifrost? Who would have that? No, of course. Why is the Norse using the key to Eternity?
Exactly. But so let's close this one out with what's your number?
I'm going to give it like a 6.5, 7.
6.5?
I'm going to say 7. I really did enjoy it.
I think we gave Multiverse of Madness like a 6.
I gave Multiverse of Madness like a 5.5, I think.
Okay.
Maybe I did give
you
6.
It has been months.
It's been a long time. Either way, I really enjoyed this. Was it the best movie ever? No. Was it really fun? Absolutely.
Yeah. I give Ragnarok like probably like a 5.8.
Okay.
So I'm gonna put this one at like a 6.6.
Okay.
Maybe even a 6.65.
So you like how tall you like your women?
Yep. 6.6.
6.6.
I like mountain climbing.
I know you do.
Which, speaking of that, let's just do a really quick, because you haven't really seen it.
Yeah, how fast and in a hurry.
Yeah. She-Hulk.
Okay. I watched episode 1.
Yes.
I have some thoughts. I know there's been a lot of negative thoughts on the internet.
Oh.
That's an understatement. Yeah. And some of them I'd like to shoot down right now because they're not real fans.
Correct.
Anyone that's like, oh, She-Hulk, she's twerking. This is over-sexualized. You've never read a She-Hulk comic.
Yo, also, I'm not going to lie, I laughed really hard, like out loud when that scene came on.
It's a funny, it's like, it's weird because it's CGI, but it's a funny, it's supposed to be like, they're just having a lull. It's not, this show is not meant to be serious Marvel. There's too much serious
Plus,
Marvel.
There was goofy shit. It was a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
There was goofy shit in the post-credit scenes in regular
Marvel. The shawarma.
Fucking shawarma scene.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the people that are, like, bitching about it, they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
The show itself, they nailed some things. They nailed She-Hulk. They nailed a lot of, like, is the CGI rough? A little bit, but it's a show.
It gets better as it goes on.
Does it?
Like, there's a lot of it where I'm kind of like, okay, it was a little rough in the first episode, but honestly, after that, this is pretty good.
I'm going to have to give it a shot then, because I really only got through episode 1. Now, I was tired, and I just finished Thor Love and Thunder when I watched it.
Oh, you tried to go back to back?
I know, and compared to Thor Love and Thunder, I was not very into it. Like, I did not have the urge to watch any more episodes.
The first episode is the worst episode.
Okay.
There's nothing that happens in it, really.
Yeah.
There's nothing flashy, and there's nothing even really that funny. So it's like, you're not... aside from the Captain America fucks line.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's nothing funny in the whole first episode.
Well, I'm
going
to have
to
give it more of a shot then, because I was a little... once again, had nothing to do with She-Hulk, had everything to do with...
Had nothing to do with them neutering the Hulk.
No, what the fuck? People are...
That was one of my favorite things.
The Hulk is not a
woman,
Dirk or Dirk. And I'm like, you're so fucking stupid.
No, one of my favorite things was them saying that they toned down and neutered the Hulk because She-Hulk was so much stronger. And I was like, did you guys not notice during the rock throwing scene that She-Hulk put her whole body weight into it, threw that big ass boulder
far,
100 feet maybe.
And
Bruce threw it into the fucking like into outer space.
He literally gave it enough power to leave the planet, and it was a casual chuck.
Yeah. He just did a soccer throw in and it left the planet. Yeah.
And also, Bruce is, you know, probably not trying to murder his cousin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will say that was a little bit dumb that a van moved the Hulk.
Yeah, okay. There's a couple things there that where I'm
was
like,
that was dumb. You could have gone without that. She could have just jumped out earlier or something like that.
But he doesn't know if she's going to turn right away like he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. He probably left the ground on purpose to not, you know, potentially hurt his cousin. Because he knows if he puts a bullet in his mouth, he wakes up as a Hulk.
Yeah.
But she's totally new, and she doesn't have the multiple personalities.
Yeah.
So is she going to change immediately? Will she change from being hurt right away?
They tested. They did.
They did test some of that stuff.
They did a decent amount of testing.
But, you know, it's still a lot of... And once again, you're dealing with someone you care about. Probably one of the few family he has that he cares about.
It's probably the last family member that he speaks to.
Yeah. And, like, probably not trying to, you know, immediately give her whiplash.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I understand it, but I was like, they probably could have just done that differently.
Yeah,
saw the Hulk stop a flying alien.
Yeah.
A massive Leviathan.
Yeah.
We saw him just punch it and just be like, done.
You also got to keep in mind, maybe he just doesn't want to tear up all his ground. This isn't New York. This is his island.
Plus also.
And his car park.
That's his Jeep.
Yeah. Like there's things. Look, if someone's going to hit me with my car, I'm going to try not to hurt my car too.
I got you.
What I'm saying? Like there's factors to it to include. You don't have the comic book benefit of a running monologue of their head.
That is true. That is true.
Did they neuter him? No, not really. I don't think so.
Honestly, they brought him back up to almost full power with the healing of his arm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I guess, spoilers of She-Hulk. Spoilers goes for everything.
Yeah.
But the reason why I like the show and why I think you would like the show is because it leans into the sitcom aspect.
Yeah.
And it leans specifically into the lawyer sitcom.
So I heard that, and that actually kind of, see, they're not my favorite genre of show, which is another one of the reasons I'm like,
yeah.
Maybe I just wasn't interested because, like, by the end of episode 1, I was like, I don't want to watch a lawyer
Wong's
show.
In 2 episodes.
Well, I do love Wong. I do love me some Wong. I did see a clip on TikTok earlier today. I think it was some chick that probably made a deal with Mephisto to get
Madison.
Out of,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about her. All I know is Wong is on the stand.
She's an equally amazing character.
Okay. And that scene had me wanting to watch it again.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Wong. And her and She-Hulk. And
like,
I went,
I'm not going to give you details.
Yeah, please
don't. But I will just say that there is an entire episode where she's technically trying to serve a cease and desist.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. All
right. I'm going
to. So it is a very good lawyer sitcom.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to
just
give it
so happens
shot.
To have superheroes in it.
I'll give it another shot then. We'll see.
And we'll talk about it further once you yeah, I'd say let's hold off until the end and we'll talk about it as a whole.
Okay. Well, if you've started watching She-Hulk, let us know what you think. Were you disappointed? Did you like it more? Do you think they neutered the Hulk?
Do you hate her just because she has a vagina?
Probably.
If that's your issue with it, just say I'm a dick, and we'll know what you're saying.
Don't worry. They'll if they hate her because she has a vagina, they will defend it to the end of the earth. They will come up with every reason imaginable.
That's true.
Why she can't be a Hulk because she's a woman, and none of them will be that phrase, but they will all be that phrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, thank you for listening.
Oh, we haven't done the outro in a while.
Yeah, okay.
You can find this wherever you listen to your podcast, but the blessed place to
come to us at rumrunnerspodcastnetwork.com.
Yep, that's going to be the best place to do it. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TalkShonen.
Hey, Jared, get off your booty. I know you were dying. I know you were dying.
Made. There is a Patreon.
The Hulk survived a snap and still trained his cousin. You can go make a Patreon.
Okay, there is a Patreon. You can go to it. You can support us, and that will pay for us to go see these movies.
Yeah.
So go check it out. Patreon. I don't know how we work Patreon. Is it / Rumrunners? Did you search Rumrunners?
Yeah, patreon.com/rumrunners.
Yeah, and then search that and just go to that and then give us money.
You went to the hospital and lost any skillet that you had. Thank you for listening. Let your nerd flag fly.
Embrace your fandom, everybody.
Peace.